It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. This is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And the holiday season is in full swing, and with the pro and college football seasons entering the playoff push, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, wants to put you in the center of the action. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss what DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new customers are covered up to $100. That's right. You bet they cover with risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is insuring your Sunday bets up to $100. That's right. New customers, you can bet this Sunday risk-free up to $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Must be physically located in Pennsylvania in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means we are joined by Ross Tucker for Tucker's Tape. Ross, how are you doing?
You know what, Jim? I am doing awesome. Happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And I'm doing great, man. I'm very thankful and appreciative for a lot of things, including the opportunity to talk Penn State football with you each and every week.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. It's always great to have you on. But what's not so great is the way this Penn State team is playing. And there's so much going on, so many questions I have, Ross. Instead of just opening it up to you, I got questions that I'd like your brilliant football mind to answer, if you don't mind. Let me start with this. This team, three times they had a third or fourth down and short situation, and they found a way to fail every single time. And this isn't something new. What is going on?
Yeah, it kind of reminds you, if you go back to sort of the Saquon Barkley era, remember when they would have such issues on short yardage?
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny, Jim, because I actually went back. I was driving home, watching part of it and listening primarily to Jack Ham and Steve Jones. And so I went back and watched the game this morning. By the way, really tough watch, really frustrating. You know, I guess I don't consider myself a Penn State fan anymore. I certainly was. Season tickets, the whole deal growing up. And, you know, I've kind of gotten back into it. I guess I'm more of a Penn State analyst now. I will say this, watching them, I found myself kind of feeling disgusted and angry watching that game. I mean, it was...
Well, Ross, let me just tell you something. That makes you very similar to a Penn State fan then.
Yeah, it was an unacceptable performance and frankly a stunning performance to me on a lot of different levels. As for the short yardage stuff, you know, I don't think, first of all, it's never just one thing, but like I thought Will Levis, so on the Will Levis quarterback power, CJ Thorpe missed his block. He needed to be tighter to the line of scrimmage and he needed to kick out, go inside out. And he was able, the defensive end was able to cross his face. Now, theoretically, maybe Levis could have seen that and could have bounced it outside. But Levis, I don't think, has the greatest vision as a quarterback. And I would also say I don't really feel like his running style is sustainable long term. You know, he really seeks out contact. It's kind of fun to watch. You know, he's a big body. He obviously is a strong kid. He cares a lot about it. I don't really believe that that is a sustainable model for like a 2 or 3 year period to take as many shots as he does. And specifically, look, I have the fourth down fade route to Jahan Dotson is just, I don't understand that at all. That is unacceptable. Fourth and short, and you're throwing a fade route to a 5'11 receiver. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I did think on the one third down, the offensive line didn't give up any penetration. And I would like to have thought that, I think it was Kayvon Lee, would have been able to push the pile more than that or find enough of a soft spot to get the first down. That really surprised me because there was not penetration. The other one, the Levis one, they did not do a very good job of protecting the flanks, protecting the edges. And Iowa was sending guys off the edges and they were able to get there and disrupt Levis.
Ross, you had mentioned that we have been seeing this frustration for years, even with Saquon Barkley on third and one, fourth and one, they often failed. Is that partly this zone read that they run for their running game that teams know that's coming?
Well, that's what it certainly was back in the Saquon days. You know, it was like they would go out of the gun because that's how they run their offense. And there's just not a big menu of runs when the quarterback's in the gun and the running back is sidecar, right? I mean, there's just not that many runs out of that. So it's primarily inside zone. So the team would have the defensive line on both sides pinch and angle in to stop Saquon. And then you'd have one guy off the edge for the quarterback. And it was too predictable. I don't really even think that was the issue because one was quarterback power. And I thought the first one with the running back, I thought they actually blocked it decently. And I was surprised the running back, and I think it was Lee, wasn't able to get more push. The Levis one was two missed blocks, including C.J. Thorpe pulling. It was quarterback power. And then the fade route is just unconscionable to me. That is your – if your best play on fourth and one is a fade route to a receiver down a sideline, then you got to go back to the drawing board because something's gone very, very wrong.
What about the play where Levis pitched it behind the running back? There was the fumble. I actually thought that was a good play because it looked like they were running to the perimeter when Iowa was stacking the line of scrimmage. And I think with a good pitch, it's a first down. What did you think of that play?
I would agree that again, Jim, I didn't get a chance to go back and watch the end zone copy or the coaching tape to see it, but it certainly felt like they had something there if it had been a better pitch. But then that's also kind of on coaching, right? Like how many times have they run that? How many times has Levis done that pitch going to his left with, I think it was Lee again, because that pitch relation, that's not easy. Like you got to do that a bunch to make sure that what happened doesn't happen.
All right, let's get to a couple other questions quickly here. It looked like Penn State was beat on both sides of the line of scrimmage. How is this happening? Are they weaker than Iowa or any of their other opponents? Is it bad technique? Is it bad execution? What's happening that they're losing both lines of scrimmage?
So I did not think – I thought the offensive line was okay. I did not think the offensive line was as bad as the defensive line, and in particular the defensive tackles. One of the worst performances by Penn State's front seven and defensive tackles in particular I've ever seen. Now, Shaka Toney made a few plays. Awe made a play or two. But you go back and watch, Jim, and they are getting knocked off the football. They are getting knocked backwards. They are sticking to blocks like glue. The linebackers can't get off blocks. I mean, it makes me – look, I'll just say this. I talked to a Penn State grad while the game – I called him at halftime. And this is a guy that played in the front seven, on defense, played in the NFL for a while, and he was like irate. And he just feels like they're soft. And I would say it's a combination of not strong enough and bad technique. But you go back and watch, Culpepper is getting knocked back. Hands are knocked back. The linebackers all look slow to me. Man, I thought Brandon Smith would be able to run better than that. I don't know if it's his ankle injury or knee or whatever it was, but he looks slow. They can't, I mean, they appear to lack physicality and toughness. And it's very rare that you say that about Penn State. Even when Penn State's had bad teams, that's not been things that you said. They've usually always been pretty good up front. But, wow. And it's especially, I felt like, the backups, who for whatever reason got a lot of playing time over Mustafa and Shelton. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, Hansard and Culpepper in there just getting their you-know-what's knocked back. I don't get it. I don't get it. And they miss not only Micah Parsons, but if you want to know the truth, they miss Jan Johnson quite a bit. Jan Johnson was smart and physical, and he would have come down and hit you in the mouth and stoned it. Like I said, Jim, tough watch, very frustrating. It kind of goes against everything I believe and hold dear about the sport. And they are not representing this state very well at all right now. And I was disappointed in the offensive line as well. I didn't think they were as bad as the defensive line, but they weren't good either.
That seems to be a response you could have for every game this season. All right, we could go on and on about issues from this last game, Ross. They still have to go look forward. They're going to play Michigan. The DraftKings spread on this one is Penn State is a 2.5-point underdog against Michigan. Over-under is 58.5 points. What do you see happening?
Yeah, I don't know how you can watch that game Saturday and pick Penn State to win this game. Michigan's not very good at all, but they rallied under this quarterback. They seem to like this quarterback. And so I think Michigan wins. Penn State never seems to play well in Ann Arbor. Michigan at least has some confidence and some belief and some momentum. I don't see any of that from Penn State right now. I'll say Michigan 27, Penn State 17.
All right. That will be it for quarter number two and Tucker's Tape. Stick around in quarter number three. We ask Ross.
DraftKings Sportsbook is ensuring all new customers are covered with risk-free betting up to $100 on all of Sunday's action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Must be physically located in Pennsylvania. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.